Thank you. If you will, take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I really felt that the Lord had led me to this passage. It was a challenge as I was trying to figure out what to speak about this morning. Our pastor had and his wife went away for vacations for his time away, and it's good for them to get away like that. And he had asked me to speak this morning. And I had prayed and I sought really the Lord to see what kind of passage that I really felt like the Lord would lead me to. And I've searched all kinds of things. I just didn't really know really what I should talk about and communicate with this morning, but the Lord somehow just through it all led me to this passage, and I just couldn't get away from it, and it just brought me here, and I felt like this is what the Lord had laid on my heart. So this morning I'm talking to you about a demon-possessed man, and as I began to think about that, I thought about our world today and the darkness that sometimes surrounds us in our world today, and the things that we think about and get so maybe bent out of shape on or down on, or we look gloomy on or look dark on the way things are turning out in our world today. It doesn't take very hard for us to look around to kind of start feeling kind of grim about the way things look. I mean, we look on the news and we're like, wow, it just seems like everything is constantly negative and bitter and just gloomy all the time around us. And then we look in our own lives, and maybe some of us are suffering from great ailments. Maybe some of us are facing cancer. Some of us are facing other kind of diseases. And it just seems like the world is grim. And then all of a sudden, we maybe have issues at home, and there's a husband and wife fighting and divorces and things like that. And the world just starts looking really gloomy and dull and dark around us. I know in my own life, I've experienced that many a times. Some of the most darkest times of my life were times when I felt like there was no hope and no joy. Times when my own kids that were being born were faced with great diseases, and we knew that the battle was ahead of us was great, and it was hard. And you see those dark moments and you wonder, is there any hope in life? Is there any chance for anything good to come about when you see such darkness all around you? And this passage, I feel like today answers that and shows us that through it all, Jesus is Lord. There's no hope and trust in anything in this world. There's no president, there's no doctor, and there is nothing in this world that can give us true hope and peace and joy and satisfaction and even things that bring us to a point where we have peace other than Jesus. And Jesus is Lord of all, and he's Lord of all things. And so this morning, we're going to look at this passage, and we're going to see how Jesus has authority and lordship, even in some of the darkest places in this area that he visits. And so before we do that, let's pray and ask God to reveal his truth to us. God, I pray this morning as we look at this passage, Lord, I pray that we will see you who you are, that you are the Lord, that you have authority on all things. Not only are you Lord, but you are light. That you are light and you have come to shine in the dark places. And you have come to set us free. So Lord, I pray that this morning as we look at you and we see you for who you are, that we will place our hope and trust in you. And even if we are going through those dark times, and it seems like darkness is all around us, I pray this morning that we will be reassured that you are with us and that you will be with us. And ultimately, you are Lord even over those things. And we just need to simply surrender and submit and humble ourselves before you and allow you to lead us through those times. So God, just encourage us this morning with your word. And we ask this in your name. Amen. So the passage begins in verse 1. So follow along with me, if you will. In verse 1, it says in chapter 5, they, that's the disciples and Jesus, went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart.
and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank and the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons, sitting there dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. And so here in this passage, we see Jesus being Lord over spirits and demons. But this story fits into a much greater narrative. There's actually passages that surround this passage. There's a passage before it, and there's a passage after it. And all throughout these passages, Mark is trying to communicate that Jesus is Lord, that he is Lord over all these things. And so the story before it happens to be a story about the disciples. They had got into a boat, and they were traveling across the lake. And as they were traveling across the lake, a great storm came up, and the disciples were afraid. And Jesus was asleep in the stern of the boat. He was there asleep. And the disciples came to Jesus and woke him up. He says, "Jesus, are you not concerned about this? Are you not, you need to wake up. It's a serious thing going on. Are you not concerned for us?" And Jesus looked at them. He says, "Oh, you have little faith." And he gets up and he calms the storm and he calms the seas. And the disciples are just blown away by what Jesus had done. They asked themselves, "Who is this man who can calm the storms and the seas?" Jesus has authority over all creation. He has authority and he is Lord over all. And then after this story, there's another story. It's a story, matter of fact, it's a two-story kind of thing. It's about a little girl who's sick, and it's also about a woman who's been bleeding for all her life and haven't been able to be healed. So two sick women here, and Jesus is begged to come and heal them. And so Jesus goes and he's on the way. And while he's on the way to heal the little girl, the woman comes up and touches his garments and she is healed. And he gets to the house. And of course, the little girl had passed away and died. And Jesus comes there and he basically says, "Oh, she's not dead. She's just sleeping." And of course, the people start laughing and like, "What are you talking about?" And he puts them out and he calls to the little girl and he brings the girl back to life. And in this passage, we see that Jesus is Lord even over sickness and death. He has power and authority over all these things. So over and over again, Mark is trying to show us how much Jesus has authority over all these things and how much he is Lord. And so here in this passage here, he is Lord over the spiritual world. He is Lord even over the demons and Satan. So they arrive on this shore. Of course, the storm had happened. The disciples were with him. And he brings them over to the shore. Now, at this time of the day, it's darkness. They get there on the shore at dark. It had been evening when they left on the boat, and the storm came. So by the time they actually reach the shore, they get on the shore, it's darkness. Not only is it darkness, it is right there where the tombs are. And so here they are in the darkness, arriving on a graveyard site. And here's all the tombs, and here's all these people. And to make matters worse, here comes running at them this demon-possessed man.
a violent, dark man. Now, the disciples, I can only imagine how fearful they probably were. If they were afraid of the storms, the seas, I mean, here they are coming into the most scariest and darkest times of their ministry with Jesus is coming up on this area. And yet, here they are. Jesus led them to this area. You know, when we follow Jesus, Jesus often leads us to dark times. He will often lead us through dark areas. When we follow Jesus, a lot of times he will walk through those things with us. But we need to remember some things. First of all, in Psalms 23, it tells us that even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is with us. He is with us. And when we go to those dark places in our world, he's with us still. Why does he cause us to do that? Why does he bring us to those dark areas? It's so that we can shine even greater and brighter for him. And so here we are, we're in a dark area. Here the disciples are, and here this man comes running up to them, and he's demon-possessed. And first of all, we need to understand something. There is a spiritual realm. I was reading some books and some scholars and trying to figure out as I was studying this passage, but I was reading one liberal scholar, and he wanted to deny the reality of that there is no spiritual darkness, that this man was just having a bad day, bad time, bad lifetime, and he was just going through rough times. And so he was basically saying, this is not real. Jesus needed to help this man understand that he could get himself out of this if he could just think positively or think, you know, more about himself. And so the liberal scholar basically painted the picture that he came to help this man feel better about himself. And the way he cured him or the way he kind of helped him was we tricked him by running a bunch of pigs off a cliff. This scholar did not want to acknowledge the spiritual realm, to acknowledge demons and acknowledge Satan and acknowledge all these things. He didn't want to acknowledge those things. He didn't want to acknowledge evil forces. Because I want to tell you something, evil forces do exist. The Bible says that Satan was kicked out of heaven. Satan was a beautiful angel. He was an angel created by God. One of the most beautiful angels. He was the wisest angel. And he was there to protect God's glory. But Satan, being deceived by his own hearts and his own desire, began to turn against God. And God hurled him down to the earth with a lightning bolt. And he says that he swept many angels with him, that he took down many, many angels. And those angels and Satan roam this earth. And they are the demons and they are the devil that we talk about here on earth. And they are real. Our Western world seems to kind of water down the mentality and thought of spiritual life. The Eastern world focuses too much on the spiritual world. They talk about the spirits and everything that's against them. So the Eastern world is really big on the spirits. We in the Western world tend to kind of water that down. We don't think about that too much. C.S. Lewis says this. He says, people make two mistakes in considering demons and demon activity. Either they discount it and think nothing of it, or they become too fascinated and too preoccupied with it. Demon activity is real, more active in some darker regions than others, but it's something that Christians should not live in fear of, for Christ has won the victory over all such forces. So that was C.S. Lewis. And so, yeah, there are two views of demon possession and two views of demonic activity. One is that we can ignore it and basically just discredit it, or we can become too fascinated with it. But demon activity is real. Matter of fact, in the story of Daniel, Daniel records that a messenger was coming to present him a message, but he could not come to Daniel because of demonic forces and demonic opposition. This is not imaginary. This is not fake. These are not stories that we tell children to try to keep them to be obedient. They are real. They bring darkness, they bring depravity, and they bring enslavement. And so many times, people in this life have been caught in footholds and sin, habitual sins, and they are being enslaved, and they don't even realize it, but they are dealing with demonic forces. Some of the homes here, maybe even in this county, have demonic forces going on, and they have just been enslaved to sin and enslaved to darkness. Now, I'm not saying that this is the extreme where we say, well, the devil made me do it. No, the devil doesn't make us do anything, but he does blind us from the truth, and he blinds us from the light. And he causes us to stumble and fall. And for so many, they are caught in depravity and caught in enslavement. And here this man was completely enslaved by these demons. His name was Legion. Legion means many. There were many of them. this was probably the idea that there were thousands of them inside of him. I mean, can you imagine the torment that he probably felt? He says that he was cutting himself. He was a violent man. And he was kicked out of normal society. He couldn't live with the normal society. They would even bind him with chains, and he would break those chains. And he was living apart. The man himself was in torment from all these demons and from all this darkness and all this depravity. But Jesus comes on the scene. Jesus comes. He's leading these disciples into this dark area, and Jesus comes on the scene. Jesus is the light of the world. John 1 tells us that the light has come into the world. That light has come. He is the life and the light of this world. He comes to bring light, and light will always overcome darkness. If you think about it, you can't take a flashlight or candle and cover it with darkness. No, darkness is always conquered by light. Light will always overcome. Even if this room was pitch black dark and I only had a small little candle lit, every one of us could see it, because light will always overcome darkness. And Jesus will overcome darkness. And here Jesus comes, and this man comes running to them, a violent man, a dark man, this evil man. He comes running to him. But I want you to see something. I want you to see that Jesus is Lord in this situation. And the demons know it, and they know exactly who he is. So he comes running to him, and he immediately recognizes who Jesus is. And he says to Jesus, "Why have you come here?" And he calls him by name. He says, "Jesus, Son of the Most High God." You see, Satan and his demons know exactly who God is. They know exactly who Jesus is. And over again in the scriptures, if you go read through the Gospels, every one of the demons come and acknowledge Jesus for who he is. They know him. What's ironic about it is here his disciples were with him, and they were with him every day, seeing his ministry being carried out, and they were still trying to figure out who Jesus was. Back in the boat, they were like, "Who is this man? He can control the wind and the waves." They couldn't figure out who Jesus was, and they're still trying to figure it out. And all throughout the Gospels, we see the disciples constantly asking themselves, trying to figure out, afraid to ask, especially when Jesus speaks clearly to them about what's about to happen to them. They don't get it. They don't understand it. They are blinded to it. And it wasn't even until after the resurrection that they see Jesus, that their eyes were open to embrace him fully to who he really was. But these demons, they know exactly who he was. They didn't even have to come and ask him. They saw him and knew immediately who he was. And here this demon comes running to him. But I want you to see that these demons have no authority and no power over Jesus. It says that the man fell down on his knees. He says that when he saw him from distance, he came and he fell down on his knees in front of him. And in verse 10, he says that he begged Jesus. The demons have no authority over Jesus, no power over him. And they recognize who he is, and they recognize his authority. And so he comes here and he begs Jesus, and he asks Jesus. It says that he says, "Swear to God that you won't torture me." In Matthew's account, has the same story here. In Matthew's account, he says that "Have you come to taunt me before the appointed time?" Now that's very interesting. These demons and Satan know that they are defeated, that they have no hope of defeating the Lord. They have no hope over God. They know that God is supreme and that ultimately God will win. But yet they still run around in this world, plaguing this world. How sad is it to know that what you're doing and all the things that you're doing are going to be no avail, because eventually you're going to be defeated. And here he is acknowledging to Jesus, "You are here, but you're not here at the right time. This is not the right time. It's not time for you to come yet. It's not time for you to torture us yet." They are living right now knowing and realizing that one day Jesus will come back and they will be dealt with. And they have nothing that they can do about it. How sad it is to live in a life that's like that, that you have no hope and no future. All you can do is just right now, whatever you can do, because at one time, Jesus is coming and he's going to judge and he's going to have complete authority. He's going to basically torture them for all eternity by placing them in hell. I mean, that's all they can look for. That's all that they have hope for. They have nothing. And so here he was, he's afraid that Jesus is now on the scene and he's coming early to deal with him swiftly. And so he's begging him, don't torture me now. Don't deal with me now. Please have patience on me. Let me be cast out into these pigs right now. Don't torture me. Don't send me to the abyss right now. I mean, he's begging Jesus. Jesus has lordship over them, and they are afraid of him, and he will deal with them one day. Right now, he has allowed Satan and his demons to run amongst in our world. And right now, he's doing that because right now, he is allowing the gospel and the light to go out and for all to hear to be saved. But one day, he will bring an end to it. He will bring an end to the demons and Satan and everything, and it will be over. But for a point, for a time, he is allowing it to run amidst in our world and causing chaos and allowing them to bring havoc on this world. In the meantime, we put our faith and trust in Jesus. We put our faith in him, allowing him and realizing that he, even though the demons and Satan are powerful, and even though they do have power, they are second to God. They're not above God. They are powerful, but they have no power over God. And what we do is we cling to God in these moments. We trust in God. So even though they have power, and even though they cannot be bind, and although they are fearful, we do not have to fear them because we have the Lord on our side. And so here he is, begging Jesus not to torture him. Jesus has authority over him, and he is Lord of all. Now, there's an interesting story here. Jesus does cast out the demons, and he casts them into pigs. And it's kind of unusual. And you know, I spent a lot of time trying to research it, and basically at the end of the research, nobody knows why. No scholar has not. They have theories. They have all kinds of ideas of why this was happening. But ultimately, at the end of the day, the scripture doesn't really tell us why he allowed the demons to go into the pigs and allowed them to run off the cliff and to drown. We don't really know. Scripture was not clear. Maybe it was so that the man who was cleansed of the demons could see the power of God displayed and see them leave. Maybe it was for the people who were tending the pigs and for the people see the power of Christ. But in any case, we really don't know. All we do know is that this is not the most important part of the story. What's the most important part of the story is what happens next, and that's when Jesus heals the man, and he's there in his right mind, clothed, sitting with his disciples. That's what's the most important part of the story, not the pigs. So we got to get the main things right. So this is kind of interesting. We don't really know why. Scripture didn't tell us. Maybe we can ask Christ when we're in heaven. But ultimately, what the point of this story is so that we would understand the power and authority of Christ. And so he does cast out these demons. And so he does heal this man. And I want you to look at that for me in verse 14. It says that those tending the pigs ran off, reported in the town countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. This man who had been demon-possessed had been running around. In Matthew's account, it says that he was without clothes. That's the reason why it's so important we see it clothed here, is that he is a change. There's a change on the outside appearance. God came into his life. Christ met him, and there was a change. There was not just a change inwardly by the demons coming out. There was a change on the outside. And I'm going to tell you that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and that Jesus Christ has a Lord, and he's authority over all things, and that Jesus Christ can change any situation. He can change your life, and he can change everything. If we put our faith and trust in him, he can change us inwardly and outwardly. He is what this world needs. And yet these people couldn't see it. This is one of the recorded parts of scripture where it says that this is one of the most saddest parts because these people rejected Jesus. It's been known as one of the great rejections of Jesus. These people came and they saw this man sitting the way he was, and they were afraid, not of the man, but of Jesus. Beforehand, this man would run up and down, terrifying the people. In Matthew, it says that he wouldn't even let the people pass. He was a violent man. And the people were afraid to go, and so they wouldn't go. And yet here they come and they see that this man is clothed and in his right mind and that everything's better. But they're not afraid of the man, they're afraid of Jesus. They're afraid of what Jesus had done. You see, these people had become so accustomed to this life. They become so accustomed to the way this man was acting. It was normal for them. And they could deal with it and they could tolerate it. What they couldn't deal with and they couldn't tolerate was Jesus and the power and authority that Jesus just displayed. That was too much for them. Oh, they can deal with this man, this demon-possessed man, this violent man, but they could not deal with Jesus. They didn't realize that Jesus was the one who they really need, that he was the light of the world, that he could come in and not only bring light into this man's life, but bring light into this community. But they rejected Jesus. They were afraid of Jesus, and they ultimately asked Jesus to leave. They would really rather have this man who was violent, demon-possessed, causing all havoc, than to have Jesus Christ, the Lord, and the light of the world. When I saw the scriptures, it pricked my heart because I feel like our world today, we've become so accustomed to the darkness. We've become so accustomed to evil that we've kind of just allowed it to just happen. And we just, like, it's no big deal, it's normal life. Have we come so accustomed to darkness, to evil, that it doesn't even shatter us anymore when we hear how evil and how dark this world is? Do some of you live in homes and situations where it's so dark and it's just become normal? Or maybe some of you are struggling with sins and you have fallen into sin and it's just, that's normal life. That's just the way things are. Have you become so accustomed and so normal with that dark life that you can't even recognize that you can be free from it through the power of Jesus? We need Jesus to set us free. We need Jesus to set this world straight. There's nothing else that can do it. So my question is, are you so accustomed to sin and so accustomed to darkness that to follow Jesus would be too much for you to uproot everything in your life, to give up everything? Are you so accustomed to that to follow Jesus and to give those things up would be too much? For these people, it was. Many of you here in this room were once in that darkness. Many of you were walking in that sin. You were walking in that lifestyle. But Jesus came into your life. And when he came into your life, he came in and he shined brightly in you. And he changed your life. I know for me, when Christ came into my life, I was living in sin. I was living in a certain way. But Christ came in my life and he changed me. There was a change. There was an inward change, but there was an outward change. Just like this man who was sitting there clothed and in his right mind, there comes a change in your life when you meet Jesus Christ. He changes you. And many of you were once walking in darkness, but now you are walking in light because Jesus had delivered you from the bondage of sin and from the bondage of darkness. You were once walking in darkness and you were walking in sin, but now you're walking in light and you're walking in truth. You're walking with Jesus. But some of you have fallen back into those dark places. Some of you have found yourself so far away from Jesus and so empty and so dark in your heart. And for some of you, you don't even see the light anymore. Yes, you're still Christian, and no, you cannot lose your salvation, but you're wandering in darkness, and you've wandered, and you're thinking, how have I gotten here? How have I gotten so far from Christ? And for many of you, you feel so guilty that there is no way that you could ever go back and approach Christ. There's no way, because I'd have to come before him, and that's just too hard to come back to God. And so you continue walking in darkness. You constantly hear that voice whispering in your ear, telling you you're no good, that God will never take you back. But guys, I want you to understand that that voice is not of God. That voice is of Satan himself, and he is the accuser of the brethren, and he is always there accusing us, which I want you to understand that Jesus Christ, he is Lord, but he is a loving Lord who desires for us to return home. We're reminded of the story of the prodigal son. That is how great the love of the Father is, that he sits there waiting for us to return. And when we do, he's ready to rejoice with us and clothe us and bring us back. We just simply need to humble ourselves and come back to the Father, come back to Jesus. Realize that the enemy is whispering those things in our ear, not Christ. He is waiting to receive us. And so if you're here this morning and you're a Christian who has wandered from the faith and you've been walking in darkness and you feel so guilty, this is what you need to do. You know, first of all, you need to recognize your enemy. You need to recognize the darkness. But you also need to know our Lord, that our Lord loves us, that our Lord came into this dark world to meet us. And even as a Christian, he will come back and meet us again. You see, repentance is not just for the person who's lost. Repentance is for the Christian. Repentance is when we turn from our sins and continually to follow Jesus. We need to hear the gospel all the time as Christians because we need to be reminded that we need to continually turn to follow Jesus, turning from sin to follow him. The gospel is not just for sinners. The gospel is for us as Christians. And we need to continually remind ourselves of the good news that Jesus loves us, that Jesus died for us, and that Jesus wants to heal us and bring us into fellowship with him. We just need to simply come back to him, humble ourselves before him, and say, God, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me for wandering on you. And I promise you, Jesus is there, waiting and ready to receive you. Jesus is the light of the world, and he desires to shine back in you. But maybe there's someone here this morning who does not know the Lord. Maybe your life is filled with darkness and that you have been so blinded by the things of this world that you have not even come to Jesus and seen Jesus for who he really is. The Bible says that he is the Lord of all things, that he's even Lord over your life. Jesus says that he wants to save you. He has come to provide you with salvation and forgiveness, that he wants to bring into you the light of his light and shine in you. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, and I invite you, if you want to know Jesus, to come forward this morning, to ask Jesus to come into your heart, to forgive you of sin, and to bring you out of darkness, and to bring you in the light. But I got one last thing. Church, have we become so comfortable in just normal life, coming here, doing our religious thing, going home, and coming out, has that become our normal life that we don't even recognize the power of Christ anymore? Have we been so hidden in darkness? I have seen churches that have been hidden in darkness. They have lost their first love. They have lost Jesus. Where's our church today? Are we walking in light with Jesus? Are we following in the shadows, trying to figure out where we are? The church can be filled with so much gossip and slander and biting and hating, and there's gonna be so much darkness in the church. The very place where Jesus should be shining brightly, darkness can even possess and come into the church. Where are we at as a church? Are we allowing the light of Jesus to shine brightly for us? Is Jesus our Lord? Has he had lordship and does he reign in our church? Or are we allowing darkness to come in and squanch that light and put out that light and push that light out because we can become so focused on our things of what's normal rather than having Jesus in the church as the light and the Lord of all? Where are we as a church today? Well, I'm gonna ask us to pray, and let's go before the Lord and let's just ask the Lord to deal with us in whatever way that we need. God, I do pray that as we looked at those things, Lord, this morning, I pray that as we looked at you being the light, that you are ultimately the light of this world, that you are Lord over all things. God, I pray that we would really cling to that, Lord, because ultimately only in you can we truly find hope, peace, and goodness. Only you can restore things to be what they need to be. For some of us, we've been walking in darkness for way too long. We've been walking in sin, and sin has so blinded us that we can't even see Christ anymore. All we see is our problems, and all we see is our darkness. But God, I pray that that this morning, Lord, as we acknowledge you and we realize who you are, that you are Lord of all, Lord, I pray that we would invite you back, that we would repent of sin, and turn back to you as Lord of all, and the one who is light, who can bring light to us. For some of us, we go home to darkness. Maybe we ourselves are not walking in darkness, but maybe our family members are. And when we walk home, we are in darkness. Or maybe when we go to school, we're walking into a school filled with darkness. Or maybe when we go to our job, we're walking into a job that's filled with darkness and evil and sin all around. But God, I pray that as we go through those points in our life, that we realize that you have brought us to those points of darkness so that we can shine all the more for you. And I pray that you would embolden us to be light, to reflect your light in those areas where you lead us. And God, I do pray if there's someone who doesn't know you, someone who's lost, who doesn't know you, who does not have a relationship with you, who is not walking with you, I pray today that you would convict their heart. I pray today that you would draw them to you. And I pray that today they would be changed inwardly and outwardly, because only you can do it. And you have the power and the authority to do that, to save us, to redeem us and restore us. So Lord, whatever it is that we need to do, move in our hearts to do it. And we commit this to you. We pray this in your name. Amen.